101.5 Community Kitchen, proudly sponsored by Simply Good, your self-service bulk food store at 156 Moray Field Road by KFC.
And welcome to Community Kitchen. Fantastic day today, and we're looking at something a little bit different. I've stumbled across a book, and it's called The Trauma, The Truth and The Triumph. Well, that's not the book, but that sort of sums up this whole story. And I'm going to welcome our guests very shortly. But today we're running our format a little bit differently. In our history, or in that section, we normally talk about a particular food. We're going to talk about this little trauma, triumph, and the truth of this struggle. And then later in our family table, we're going to talk about just how do you get through this. And we're going to be talking about the food, which is really important, as you'll no doubt find out. So we welcome Leonie Shanahan to the studio. Good morning, Leonie.
Good morning, Annette.
This Lyme disease is a really controversial little thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's hugely controversial in this country. It's pretty disgusting that we can't even get treatment in our own country. Yeah.
So why is that? Is it just not a recognised illness, or what is it? What is it called? Is it an illness or a?
Oh, it's a disease. It's actually a disease, and it's actually a huge rabbit hole. So we actually won't go down it, but the government refuses to recognise it.
Yes.
And if you really want to know more about it, just read a book. It's from another Australian girl that released it this year called Lyme Crime.
Oh.
And that will just blow your mind about this whole subject. Yeah.
Now, it
it's easier
recognized
to not go down that hole.
It's recognised in the US, isn't it?
In most of the states, not all of them.
Oh.
But pretty much Lyme is in the whole world.
So is it from that little nasty little tick?
Most of them are from ticks. It can also be from sandflies and mozzies and things like that, but mainly it's ticks, yeah. And not every tick will make you sick.
No.
And if you've got a strong immunity, you're likely to not react to the tick as well. But, yeah, it's really a complicated disease.
So what does it do? Does it change your blood? Does it change what does it do to your body? What happened to you?
It's what we hate to call it this, but it's actually a very intelligent illness, because what they do, we should model their their structure. They get together as a community and go, okay, guys, let's work as a team. Where do you want to go? So some will go, I want to go to the brain. Okay, well, you get your team together, build your bridges, off you go to the brain. Some will go, I want to hang out in joints. And they go to different parts in the body, and there's no set pathway, and that's why it's so complicated to treat. And so for me, well, initially it was the chronic fatigue. And when I say chronic fatigue, it's like by the time I got out of bed, it was exhausting. To get to the kitchen, that's it. I'm done for the day. Like I literally wanted to crawl back along the floorboards to get back into bed. The fatigue, and most people will have that fatigue. The thing I hated most was feeling like I had thousands of bugs crawling under my skin, and I'd be punching my arms to get some relief from it. And everyone will vary what they get.
Yes.
And the pain. And it was a different sort of, like, it was a physical pain, but it was like someone had got a shanghai and was stretching your nervous system, and it was just this constant pain. It's just like, just give me some relief. And you just have so many, like, there's 150 different symptoms you can have, and thankfully not all at once. And obviously there's that anxiety and the panic attacks and the memory loss. I actually lost most of my memory, and that's why I had to stop giving talks about gardening, because I knew the answer, but it wasn't there.
So that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, in the introductory to you, I guess we should say that you are someone who started the school programs for, you know, edible school garden programs in over two dozen schools on the sunny coast. So you were someone who was a very proactive and a very healthy person. You've always lived a fantastically good diet, you know, had a good diet.
Yeah.
So it's not as if, you know, you sort of let your body open to actually take on some of these different diseases and some of these health products, that health problems that people have, which is really interesting, isn't it?
Well, what had happened, so I actually got that bite, and I remember it because I went to the doctor and they all laughed, like, oh, my goodness, look how big this is. So I remember the whole event. So it was back in 1999. We were on a holiday in Queensland at the time, down in Caboolture, and my back did swell up for a month, but I continued to function as it did. I had two little kids. And over the years, I kept saying to my doctor when I moved up to the coast, I get so tired. And he'd just say, but you're so busy. You've got the edible school garden programs. You've got two little children. You're involved in lots of things. I go, yeah, but I need to sleep all the time. And that was just, that was just a little bit of tiredness. Then I went through a lot of stress and with the divorce and moving house, and that's when the line clapped its hands and went, finally, we've got her. Mm. And I deteriorated really quickly and ended up having a meltdown, a public meltdown at a gardening show where everything just got too much for me. And it would still be another 2 years before my health practitioners and the doctor actually worked out what was wrong with me. There was one blood test I could get done in Australia for just one type of what we call a co-infection, a Lyme co-infection. So I had five different types of rickettsia. And then I paid absolute fortune. I didn't get much change out of $2,000 to send my blood to America to get it confirmed that I had Lyme disease. So that was back in 2015, start of 2015. So it's been a really long journey.
And the thing is, are you able to now actually take that confirmation to a practitioner and have that recognised?
First of all, you'll be very lucky if you can find someone that will treat you. Actually, doctors aren't allowed to treat Lyme people.
Oh.
That actually made it even harder now. It's absolutely disgusting. So, for example, a mother has turned up to emergency recently with her baby that's got a bullseye rash, which is a dead ringer that you've got an infected tick bite.
Mm.
And the baby had fever and other things as well. The doctor, so she was in emergency and they refused to treat the baby. Now, anyone that has that bullseye rash, which I think it's only 40% that actually get that, that is a dead ringer that you've got in, a major infection. You have only maximum 14 days to get on top of that line before it goes inside your cells. Once it goes inside your cells, which happens with me, that's when you get really sick. That's when it sets up next work and off it goes. So it's absolutely disgusting. Why are you not treating, and especially it's bad enough that I was sick, but to do that to a child, to do that to a baby, and, and it's only the normal antibiotics. What's going on?
So with this book, this is your whole journey. This is how you've actually got through it. It's actually enabled you to, get up in the morning now. You're feeling...
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm doing really well.
And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit later, so hang about for that. But just so that I know this journey was something that you had to pretty much take on by yourself to get through that, because you haven't had that assistance from anyone but yourself, I guess. You have to do that, don't you? Heal thyself. It just seems to be the message, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you'll often hear, so I tapped into a lot of the American doctors. There's lots of different summits and health summits and things like that. And they will say, Lyme patients are your most intelligent patients because they have to do so much research.
Mm.
and you do. And it's really hard. Like I was lucky, I think, because, up on the Sunshine Coast we do, and probably all the way down to Brisbane, we have more alternative, more holistic doctors and natural therapists that are open to new ideas and can help you as much as they possibly can. But it's very tricky because a doctor can be struck off, and some have been, for treating a Lyme patient. So So they can't say you've got Lyme. They're more likely to be able to say it if you've got it from overseas.
Yes.
But they can't, you can't, as far as they're concerned, you can't get it in this country, therefore you can't have it. And that becomes complicated as well, because I tried to tap into my super to get money to pay for more treatments, and they said, if you write down you've got Lyme disease, you cannot get it. I couldn't get it anyway. They wouldn't let me. But it's just like a leper.
It's a different walk. So we're talking to Leonie Shanahan, and we're going to come back and we're going to go through that discovery of just how it happens, how you're able to actually eat yourself back into that wellness. But her book is called Lyme Disease Sucks, and it's the trauma, the truth, and the triumph. And we're going to be back with you very shortly on 101.5. So stay about.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, every midsection of the show, we talk about Kids Kitchen. And, you know, after following up with Leonie's talk this morning, and before we go into chatting about her recovery with her food, I thought we'd talk about a couple of little hints I saw on the Healthy Eats there. Brain food break for your kids. Ensuring the brain food break runs smoothly. And, you know, encouraging quick, easy foods for brain food. No messy foods. Kids don't need that. Involving student to adopt those little brain foods as a daily routine. I think, you know, it's wonderful to hear. I know that my grandsons talk about the fact that the different breaks at lunch and morning, big lunch, little lunch, and how they need that food. And having that set time. So, you know, for those little children at home, if you're just making that, they have their brekkie, then about that mid-morning, even you or I will start to look for that maybe cup of tea or cup of coffee or piece of fruit. And you know that body just needs that little bit of a hit. If you get your kids into that pattern, they'll look for that. And I think it's wonderful if we start to teach them good habits. And also, what are some really good foods? All fresh fruits, of course, beautiful. Bananas, apples, berries, watermelons. And think about the abundance we have here. I'm amazed at the choice that we have. Fresh veggies. Don't forget those little cherry tomatoes. They're beautiful. Celery. And, of course, we've been encouraged again to introduce peanut butter to children. Celery is such a good carrier for that. You can fill up that little track down the centre. Fruit canned in water. Just watch that, you know, a lot of those syrups are very, very, very sweet. But if you have a look and just read those labels, there's nothing wrong with canned fruit. Just look that it's not too syrupy. And dried fruit. I mean, they're lovely. And water. I mean, we sometimes forget even as adults to, you know, keep that water going. But I often think that putting that extra bit of fruit in sometimes really does help with the kids because, you know, they do get hungry. And, of course, we've had the pleasure of talking with Kate De Prima. She's a leading Australian dietitian. And we've had her on her show. And she often talks about, you know, kids being those fussy eaters, and don't forget to keep trying with those different foods. Sometimes it may be the sensation in their mouth or whatever that's going to affect them, but at the end of the day, kids will come around to eating. I know I was surprised the other day that one of my grandchildren, 12 months old, and she just loves hummus and will eat it by the spoonful. So that's quite a different flavour and quite strong too with the garlic and the lemon juice and that little bit of fibre, but it's something that really seems to tang with her taste buds. So I thought today, thinking of different brain foods and goodies, I thought I'd share a couple of really easy little dips that you can put in with the kids for their, you know, whether it's going to be some veggie little dips that they can take to school. Of course, beetroot dip. The colour is magic. So all you're doing is you're going to boil a couple of beetroots. You can roast them, or you can, if you want to, in the supermarket, I've bought them, I have tried them. You will find there's some cooked and they're little seal pack in the fresh food section, and I'll just blend those and I'll add a clove of garlic, a little bit, about half a teaspoon of cumin, and half a cup of a Greek or natural yogurt, and just puree that, and it just becomes like the most ruby red gorgeous. And children love that because beetroot is actually quite a sweet fruit, vegetable, sorry. And imagine that in the lunchbox with just a few little carrot straws or celery, guacamole. Who doesn't love avocado? And of course, this one changes around a little bit. You can take it up a little bit or drop it down for kids. But just the basic guacamole, always using some avocados, some lime juice. You can put some spring onions in there. Of course, being a coriander person, I love that. Some people chop up a few tomatoes, some chili. But if you just want to do the good old guacamole with some just mashed up with some lime juice, and of course that also helps with the discoloration, that is beautiful for children to enjoy. And of course, hummus. And you can soak your chickpeas, or you can just get a can of chickpeas, give it a bit of a drain, a clove of garlic, a little bit of salt, once again, that beautiful cumin, about half a teaspoon, and a half a cup of tahini. Now, remember with the tahini, you've got the hulled and the unhulled. Just have a look for that. About a quarter of a cup of lemon juice, and you're just going to drizzle that with a little bit of olive oil. Make extra because, you know, this is something that you can keep in the fridge and let the children enjoy. And, of course, don't forget the good old baba ganoush. So if you're roasting or got the barbecue going, put the whole eggplant on there. It will get nice and soft and get that beautiful smoky flavour. Scoop that flesh out. And then you mix all the other ingredients, about a tablespoon of yogurt, a couple of tablespoons of tahini, one garlic clove and a tablespoon of lemon juice, and mix that all together. And then if you're going to do it at home, of course, if you're eating it like that, you'd probably sprinkle it with some toasted pine nuts and some parsley. Of course, you wouldn't be able to do that for the kids at school. But if you just pop that in a little dish, and that is a beautiful dip for children. And of course, as Leonie says, try to get on to having lots of different varieties in your diet. So this is just going to be adding to that vegetable intake and good food for kids to enjoy. Of course, when we come back, we're going to be talking family table today, and we're going to be talking the recovery that Leonie took in her food to actually get her back and give her that energy and also that fantastic triumph that she's going to be talking about with her Lyme disease. We'll be back shortly on 101.5.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back. You're on Community Kitchen. Of course, we've been talking to Leonie Shanahan, and she's written a book, Lyme Disease Sucks. And we've talked about the trauma, the truth, and now we're going to talk about the triumph. So welcome back, Leonie.
Thank you, Annette.
So tell us about the triumph. What's the good part of this?
Well, it's, you know what's really interesting? Like, you know, this journey was 7 years. I actually absolutely got stripped of everything.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you come out really strong about what's important to you. Who are the people that you really love, and what's important in life? Mm. And you get back to the real basics. You suddenly, all those possessions, which I lost most of mine, they're not important anymore. You know, it's being in nature, having good food, having clean water, and having, you know, that tribe of close friends. And because you lose a lot of friends in this Lyme process, and family members, you know, those people aren't necessarily there for you. So you actually go to a much deeper space of, you know, of love and, yeah.
Did you find that people thought that you were a bit of a nutcase, for want of a better word?
I actually withdrew a lot, which wasn't healthy for me.
Yes.
I felt like a failure because I couldn't do what I used to be able to do.
Yes.
And because every time I mentioned I was sick, I'd burst into tears.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was a bit dangerous when I went into a shop because they just do the general, how are you today? And I just start crying. So you've
always had an amazingly healthy diet. And this is what sort of gets me, isn't it? That we're all advocating that you eat well. But see, probably because the body was just so good, you wonder whether it's had this a bit of attack. So when you were going through that recovery, you were talking before about the fact that you lost your memory, you know, you were so tired. What did you do in your diet to help you through that?
Yeah, and we've got to remember that, you know, because I was teaching kids about growing food and eating food, so I knew about this stuff, but it was like, how can I take it to the next level? And we have to remember that food is ancient intelligence.
Mm.
Food is there. It wants to heal us. It wants to rebuild us. And it's our medicine. So first of all, certain foods went off the list. No grains, no dairy, no big fish, no GMOs, which I never did anyway, no alcohol, no junk food. Like you suddenly become so strict and everything. And for me, a garden's always been important, growing organic or biodynamic food. But it suddenly took on, like every day we should be picking at least 30 different types of food, because each piece of food is going to a different part of our body to repair it, rejuvenate, rebuild, recover. So it's really important to have that variety, and that's why it's good to have a garden in your backyard. So even though I could no longer garden for myself, friends thankfully came and helped me. But it's also when you like understanding the power of food, but also being in the garden. So it was my sanity to go out in that garden. And, you know, I've always been a busy person and my mind was always spinning, and the doctor's trying to get my brain to calm down and she's trying to get me to meditate. And the only way I could do it is whenever I went into my garden, and I'd always done this, I'm totally focused on gardening. So gardening was a great time for me just being in the garden for that mindfulness, for that meditation to reduce that stress, and preferably have my shoes off, which I normally did anyway, because that was just another activity if I had to put shoes on, to ground yourself and actually just soak in that sun and, you know, Mother Nature, and it's just so important. And especially when, you know, I had massive sleeping problems, even though I was in bed so much, being outside will help get that circadian rhythm. And so that's going to help with sleep as well. You've got the fresh air. And even though everyone's at a different level of just where they are with Lyme, sometimes just putting an arm up out of bed is enough exercise for the day. But if you can just, like for me, I was energized to walk through my garden to see what was happening, and, you know, to pull out one weed would put me back into bed. That's when I was at the worst of it. And it was a good way for me to gauge too, as I could do more in the garden. It's like, okay, I'm getting stronger. And another, like there's so much we can do without money, without giving our energy. It's simple things like talking to your plants in a positive way, talking to them. Like we are vibrational beings, and by talking to your plants, you are lifting the health of you and your plants and the vibration. And one thing we really forgot is giving gratitude to our food. And this really... At one stage, I went and lived with the Hare Krishnas because I needed someone to look after me. I was so confused. I had so many food restrictions. I was getting to the stage of like, I didn't even know what I can eat anymore because my body was reacting to everything. So I said, I need to go somewhere where someone's going to look after me. So I went to the Hare Krishnas. And that just brought so much joy to me because they sing. So most people will be familiar with Hare Krishnas singing along the streets, and there was just so much joy, and it just brought me to another level of joyfulness towards your food and
appreciation, so maybe You know, it's interesting, isn't it, when you talk about the fact of grounding. You know, a lot of people forget how important it is to actually walk in the garden, to actually feel that sun. And I think you were talking about, we have Gary from Kookaburra Organics come on the show. And once a month, and he often talks about, you know, you see that bird putting his head on the on the side, listening to that seed and listening to that growth because he wants to find out what's happening in there. And, you know, when you sit quietly in the garden sometimes, and it is a bit meditative because you're looking around and you're enjoying that, I think our pace of life sometimes, Leonie, just doesn't allow allow people to do that. But once you've actually had that little bit of a taste of it, it's pretty easy to go back. Tell me this, but that gardening, did that help to bring back your memory? When you were working in the garden, did it help to bring back your memory?
Yeah, I guess when I was in the garden, I was there, and also I didn't have an audience to to answer questions to. I was just there with it, and so I could see what was happening and going, oh, and I know what's going to happen next, and oh, this is what you need, and really tapping into the language of the garden, and actually I missed it because I've had to sell my place and I've moved around a lot, and I'm staying with friends now, and I don't actually have a garden here. I have about 20 pots of food, and I'm involved with the community garden, and I really miss that every day, just really being connected to the soil and the garden. But it certainly helps. And just going back to your comment about having really the luxury of just observation. And I remember lying in bed, and I used to love just following a leaf falling off a tree, and just these simple. And I still to this day, whenever I see a leaf falling, I watch it. So it goes all the way down, and just, you know, and watch the different cycles of birds that come in different times of year, different times of day, and start to hear their bird song and who sings first, and, you know, all those things we need to come back to.
Yeah.
You know, they're free and they're so good for our health, and to wake up in the morning to bird song is so healthy for us.
It's a wonderful thing. Now tell us a little bit about this website and your book, and just share that with our listeners, because if there is someone out there who has this Lyme disease, as we've been talking about, it'd be fantastic to share that. So, Leonie, what is your website? And just go through the name of your book once again.
Yeah, leonieshanahan.com.au, and it's starting to get to new websites. So I'm starting to have lots of information about health and gardening on there. And my new book is Lyme Disease Sucks, The Trauma, The Truth and The Triumph.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us on 101.5. Good luck. And I'm so happy to hear that you're on the rebound, Leonie.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thriving.
Great. Thanks for joining us this morning, and have a great day.
Thanks, everybody.
Tune in same time next week for Community Kitchen, sponsored by Simply Good, your self-serve bulk food store.